This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour, fist pump time. We're in the middle of the week with the Hump Day Edition. Hey. Here on Sean and RJ, along with Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, we got Aiden and Peyton in the back getting it on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thank you for being a Tolo. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers at 9:20. We'll crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece at 9:40. Where are we at, Bob? What do you want to do?
I'm calling and texting. We're trying to run him down. No answer yet. We're getting there.
We're going to try to track down the agent for Osa Odigizua, who helped get the deal done, being universally praised throughout the league as a fantastic move by the Dallas Cowboys. $20 million of additional money freed up with the restructuring of CeeDee Lamb, re-signing C.J. Goodwin as well. Yesterday was a good, positive Cowboy day. Now, are you freeing up that money for a big splash move, or are you just going to be re-signing your own, as Bobby has predicted that Deron Bland is the next deal to get done? By the way, today is Zach Martin Day as they say goodbye, and he says goodbye to all the Cowboy Tolos, and Jerry Jones we think is going to speak since he did not in Indy.
Yeah, and I do want to be clear about one thing. So Deron Bland is, I think, going to be the next up. And I've seen there's been some rumors out there in the last couple days on social media and stuff. People going, oh, look, this anonymous Twitter account that always provides so many scoops says that Trayvon Diggs is going to be released or traded sometime before the fifth day of the league year. And that's because the fifth day of the league year is when his salary becomes fully guaranteed. The problem is
for the following year.
No, it's for this year.
Okay, some of these guys have one for the following year.
This one is for this year. So his $9 million salary, they're saying it's supposed to become fully guaranteed on the fifth day of the league year. Well, here's the problem. And this is why you often see teams try to get out of deals and release guys or start resting guys later in the year. Trayvon Diggs' deal was guaranteed for injury. When you hear that term, guaranteed for injury, that means the second Trayvon Diggs had surgery on his knee at the end of last season, done. His $9 million salary was already guaranteed. So he's fully guaranteed already. So for anybody that's thinking like, oh, you've got a date, you got to make a decision on Diggs for, otherwise you're locked in that money. You're locked in that money now as soon as he had surgery.
So, but the surgery has to be season ending, right?
No. I mean, you can just have like a little procedure done on your wrist and it can guarantee.
Week one, you fracture a finger, you have finger surgery.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you play the following 10 games.
Yes, the next year.
You're still guaranteed for the following year.
The next year's injury. Even if you get surgery for something in the offseason, you don't even have to miss time.
So we'll see what happens with Osa's agent. If you don't go crazy over Bobby, because I'm more than happy getting to Matthew Berry in this list you sent me yesterday. Matthew Berry, the fantasy guy, his 25 most interesting things he heard at the Combine. And if you go through the history of this list, he's had some pretty big hits on here. This is basically what Bobby gave us the tour of, going and eating and drinking in the bars and talking to people. Tom Brady to Tampa came from one of these lists.
Bobby boy.
Just a lot of past predictions. Some are hits, some are misses, but I love going through all the possibilities. Let's start off with the story, though, of the Cowboy bus, which you don't believe.
This sounds so, knowing how nuts they are about the bus, which they'll let people on and things like that, but I can't imagine somebody just going, yeah, I'll blow off Jerry. If Jerry wants to walk out here in the next 5 minutes, the bus will be gone. I can't imagine. So this I wonder how much this is just legend. But he's telling the story.
Matthew Berry, the talented Mr. Roto, not former TV guy, SportsCenter anchor.
Yeah, so he says a combine tradition for the folks at ESPN. He says Matthew Berry, Dan Graziano, and then Jason Reed, somebody who works with them at ESPN. They all get together and have dinner and hang out that night. And he said some great things have come back out of that. And he tells the story. He says, we have a great night of bonding, bar hopping, rumor gathering. Now it's time to head back to the hotel, and it's cold. The hotel is a very far walk in the cold, especially since at least one of us was dumb enough to not bring a coat. He says, raise his hand. There are no cabs in sight, and both ride-sharing apps say there's at least a 20-minute wait for the car. So as Dan and I resign ourselves to a long, cold walk back and start heading across the street, Jay Reed notices the Cowboys bus parked outside the restaurant. And this is a story, he says, that's from a couple years ago. Yeah. He said, you know the one, Jerry's bus. Big, beautiful, iconic, Jerry's bus. He said, well, one thing to know about Jay Reed is that among the reasons he's such a good journalist is that he's fearless. And as Dan and I look, Jay Reed is making his way to the Cowboys bus. What are you doing? Dan Graziano says. He doesn't break stride and he yells back, we need a ride, don't we? So they look at each other, Matt Berry and Dan Graziano. They look a little nervous and they fall into the bus and he starts knocking on the bus door. Allegedly, Jason Reed does. He knocks again. Eventually, the door swings open. Yeah, the bus driver looks at us. Jay Reed pointing at me says, you ever watch ESPN? You ever see SportsCenter? You recognize this guy? The driver looks me up and down and nods. Yeah, I've seen him. He goes, well, he needs a ride to the JW Marriott. What do you say? Driver, I can't, man. Jay Reed, come on, it's just a five-minute ride. I know, but I have to wait for Mr. Jones. And he says, we were just in there. We saw him. He's surrounding. He's holding court. He's not coming out for an hour. He's talking to a bunch
of
people.
That's how I knew it was not this year.
Right? Yes, because Jerry was not.
We would have stalked Jerry. I would have stayed out to stalk Jerry.
The driver looks out his window into the window of the restaurant. And sure enough, it's a scene we've all seen many times before. Jerry Jones is surrounded and folks are hanging on his every word. The driver looks back at us, standing outside his bus, shivering to death. He looks back at Jerry, who it is clear is enjoying himself and has no intention of leaving anytime soon. The driver turns back to us and there's a long pause. Eventually, he just shrugs with an effort look and says, get in. And I'll be damned if we didn't pull up to the JW Marriott in the legendary Cowboys bus. Hilarious. The bus itself, by the way, is as gorgeous as you might imagine, filled with incredible Cowboys memorabilia and pictures of Cowboys legends, including Jerry himself and his family. It's luxurious. It says that years later, Dan Graziano was going to Dallas to write a story on the Cowboys, and he's talking with Stephen Jones, and as they're talking, they say, you ever seen the Cowboys bus? You ever been on the bus? Stephen tries to get him on, and Dan says, funny story about that, and tells him the story of them bumming a ride, which he said Stephen thought was hilarious, but I'm not totally buying this story. You think it's legit?
Yes. Why would you make that
up?
Yeah,
you can't make this up. I guess you could. No one would ever be able to
the driver.
Not corroborate it, but...
But we've seen... How many times have we seen, like...
He's a big fan of... Maybe Dan Graziano gave him the stare.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
He locked eyes into him, and he's like, oh my God, you're on ESPN. This is cool.
I don't know. The way I look at that is, like, we've seen so frequently how quickly they can just go, let's go to the bus. It's crowded in here. And they'll just walk out and... Not that they want to leave. They just want to go do it on the bus. That's a risk, a big risk that I don't know a driver would just be like, yeah, screw it. I don't care.
All right, let's get
real quick. He could always say, the police made me move. There was a fire, fire truck, ambulance. I had to move around. I had to make a loop.
Better call Chop.
Yep.
All right, one of the main things I want to focus on here from Matthew Berry's rumors at the Combine is the Shador stuff. So Bobby on Monday unloading the Combine notebook said that some teams left with a very negative Shador Sanders taste in their mouth. And Bobby, I don't remember if you said this on or off the air, but just recap what you said so I don't...
Oh, yeah. There were teams that wanted to wait around, talk to him, and were told no. Like, I mean, just wanted to have basic conversations with him, and he would walk by and go, nope, you got a quarterback, I'm not talking, and would just blow them off. Would not even have an introduction, nothing.
Well, Josina Anderson, longtime NFL reporter, has taken great issue with this.
She posted on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, that the unnamed quarterback coach's evaluation of Sanders at the NFL Combine is, I quote, disappointing.
Because someone else has said this.
Other people have said this too. She goes, I am disappointed to hear that a quarterback coach from a team drafted in the top seven referred to him coming off as brash and arrogant in his team's interview and making an assessment known to a number of people. I'm not naming the team as to not directly call the team out. I'm just sharing this coach's personal assessment is the direct opposite from how he came across to many reporters in his press conference with the media at the combine. He went out of his way to acknowledge members of the media, regardless of if they were recognizable or not. He seemed cordial, polite, witty, thoughtful, confident. Alternately, these observations were directly different from how other quarterback prospects came off to some of the media last year in Indy. Now, that all may be very, very true. What was the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago where there was a back and forth and we just didn't like how they presented it? Oh, the tush push, right? I didn't care for how the Packers tried to argue for the tush push. You did a bad job of presenting your case. And this is the same from Josina here. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, yes, two people can have completely different views on how somebody was. What she has to realize, I would assume, is that you could be how you are in the public is not necessarily how you are in private.
Who you are, not just in the public, how you are at a podium.
Yeah.
Roped off from everybody.
The how he was behind closed doors has nothing to do. And you cannot say, well, you know, he was super nice to me in the podium. Well, that doesn't have a hill of beans a difference or a meaning when it comes to how you are in a meeting. You could be completely like arrogant behind the scenes, but in public, you're like, oh man, I'm the nicest guy in the world. We've seen this happen a million times. That doesn't mean the Shador is that. It just means that her argument has no blades.
Look, Josina Anderson, in my opinion, and I like a lot of Josina's work, she comes across as an absolute shill here. She's a Dion shill. She wants access. This is just my opinion. She wants Shador access. She wants that story throughout his career. She wants Dion access. She wants Dion information. She may even get Travis Hunter ties and connections because of this. Just because Josina heard something does not mean that the other accounts are incorrect or false. But she's coming out here as this Shador spokesperson. And to me, she's overstepped the line.
Also, you know, these same coaches interviewed Travis Hunter, and they have come away glowingly. And she talked about in this comment, sorry, about how like a lot of the coaches don't like that these kids are coming in rich and they feel like they've already got like a sense of entitlement. I mean, Travis Hunter is as rich as anybody coming into the, you know, I mean, he had great NIL stuff.
Well, is that as rich as?
He's not as rich as Shador, yeah. But I mean, like, you know, that's not Shador's money.
So here's Matthew Berry to break the tie, okay? People love Cam Ward. I spoke with multiple teams that interviewed him and all said the same thing. When you watch the tape on Ward, along with his meetings, he came across as really impressive and the clear number one quarterback in the class. A few folks said to me it was a much closer consideration and discussion with Shador versus Jackson Dart than Cam Ward versus Shador.
Hear that, Will?
I would be beyond shocked if Ward is not the first quarterback drafted. I got the exact opposite read on Shador Sanders. I want to be careful here because I spoke with two people on two different teams that met with him, and completely independently of each, they had the exact same thing to say. They both said it was a bad meeting. He came across as unprofessional and disinterested. Both also said that after the meeting, they had a lesser opinion of him than prior. These same people both met with Cam and both said they loved Ward. It was a great meeting. I'm not trying to kill Shador. I want to give a bunch of caveats. It was just two people. Maybe other people in the meeting had a different read. Maybe these were teams Shador doesn't want to go to, so maybe he purposely tanked the meeting. Maybe he just had a bad day. But when talking about the top two quarterback projected picks, every team I spoke to loves Ward, and I didn't hear a ton of positive about Sanders. The one team I heard that did like him was Cleveland. They like Ward as well, but they would be good with either.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's, and then the thing that you hear is,
and here's the whole say it out loud theory. Does it sound crazy that the kid of Deion Sanders, who we watch flash watches in college and have his own production team, would be a little bit brash? Does that sound crazy saying it out loud? Of course it doesn't. We watched Shador in college. There's a reason that Colorado was a polarizing ratings football team because you loved or you hated. It became a race thing. It became a swag thing. So, my God, it sounds crazy that Shador Sanders may... Now, Shador may have just been turned off like Deion. Deion came out and told teams when he was interviewing, "You ain't got no chance of me." What the hell? Now, that's a cool, funny story now. In the moment, those teams would say, "We don't like this guy. He completely dismissed us. We didn't think it was cool that he said, you ain't worth my time. And maybe Shador had that same energy.
I still think about Bradley Chubb when he was working out his pro day. There was this funny clip of Belichick going up and talking to him. And Patriots were picking like 30th that year or something. And Bill Belichick walks up to him and he goes, "Hey, Bradley, Bill Belichick here." And he introduces him to, I think, Matt Patricia or somebody. And he goes, "Hell of a workout. You're going to be picked way far ahead of where we are. We have no effing shot at you, but that was a hell of a workout and you're awesome." And then he just walked up. He knew it. He knew he wasn't getting him, but it's just like, wanted to go up, shake his hand, get the information. Because as somebody else pointed out, I remember Darren Lee had an awful interview. The Ohio State linebacker had an awful interview with the Cowboys 1 year. And he even talked about it publicly after. He's like, "I was just sitting there thinking like, y'all aren't drafting me. Y'all are picking fourth. Y'all aren't going to pick me. So what do I care? Blah, blah, blah." And the point was brought up to me later. It's like, when you're considering trading for a guy, when free agency hits 4 years from now, the way they acted there is going to be in their mind. And you might cost yourself money down the road. You've got to be more, you know, long-term than that in your thinking.
Has the Luka curse hit the Texas Rangers? RJ Choppy with a case of Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers next. Good morning, Metroplex. This is your home of the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers with Sean and RJ. We got our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. We'll crosstalk with a KNC matchup. He's coming up at 9:40. But RJ Choppy continues to get you set for Rangers baseball with some Diamond Cavs.
Diamond Cavs. And you know what? The curse of Luka Doncic has hit the Texas Rangers. Adolis Garcia, oblique injury, MRI. Likelihood for opening day is, I don't really know. They say he's going to miss a little bit of time. They're hoping not much. The MRI, I haven't seen an update on the MRI, but he's probably going to miss opening day because we're less than 30 days out. I mean, opening day is in 22 days, so 3 weeks-ish.
Sounds like he might be contributing as much on opening day as he did all of last season.
Right here on 105 through the Fan.
You know, I'm really surprised that he actually, well, I kind of gave it away, but guess the amount of games played last year for Adolis.
Good question. 120. I have no idea.
I'll say 135.
154.
Wow.
That doesn't feel right.
I'm shocked. Oh. 8 games missed. Adolis, man, he has one of these bodies where it reminds me of Giancarlo. It's like you're so jacked.
You're so wound tight. Can't pull fat.
It feels like any run down to first, any extra stretch in the outfield now is going to result in a pull or some type of tweak. And I'm not feeling good about it moving forward.
Well, so the oblique is one that you do not mess with as a hitter. Like, those things can linger. I mean, it seems like it's 4 to 6 weeks as a given with an oblique injury. And it depends on how bad it is. And again, they're going to find out. We'll find out. But Adolis with an oblique to start the year, that is not a good thing for the Rangers to start this season from an injury perspective. Speaking of injured Texas Rangers, now he's not injured yet. Knock on Corian, knock on wood, but Jacob DeGrom.
Do we do nothing, by the way? It feels like what a segue. I feel like all we do now is talk about injuries in sports.
Yeah.
Or maybe specifically DFW.
Well, yeah, for real. But, I mean, the money is so big now that any slight injury, they are going to shut you down. And, I mean, it's the smart thing to do from a financial standpoint, but it does, like, create where you go to a game and you're like, oh, who's playing? Who's playing tonight?
Yeah.
Well, the Rangers do open the season with
the Cleveland Indians.
The Boston Red Sox.
The Boston Red Sox. That's right.
Not the Indians, Bassett.
Oh, now, sorry. Somebody's got to fill the void.
The Rangers do not play the Red Sox in spring training. Now, why is that? Well, because the Rangers train in Arizona and Boston trains in Florida.
And they don't want to give anything away.
I think they're in Fort Myers. They don't want to give anything away. So the Red Sox are playing a game against the New York Mets. And a drive-by DeGromming happened from Lou Maloney on the Red Sox, I guess on Nesson, doing the Red Sox game.
Talent on that team, everybody just sort of underperformed. The problem is you get them that opening series while DeGrom is healthy. You want to play him in August when he's on the IL.
The inevitable trip?
God! I mean, poor Jake! Jake's just sitting here.
Very unprofessional.
Jake's just sitting here minding his own business, trying to grow out the hair again because he's like Samson. Mm. And here comes Lou Maloney.
This Jim Rome knockoff lookalike.
Just a shot across the bow.
Why isn't this blowing up the way like G-Bag got like killed for just saying one thing about Christian McCaffrey? Oh, yeah. Why isn't this getting destroyed?
Maybe
by
because
everyone?
We know it's true. We're not psycho California fans.
That's true.
Aha, uh-huh, that's true.
Who were missing Christian McCaffrey last year to injury.
Old sanctuary state.
So there's Lou Maloney. I mean, just an unfortunate, unnecessary shot.
I'm trying to get through his Wikipedia to find insults.
Insults?
Yeah, give me a little time.
speaking of Jake DeGrom, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but MLB Network had this report that Bochy was going to use him.
What? Steroid education controversy.
I just saw what this guy looks like.
Yeah.
That is a goatee fit for beer 30. That's what that is.
I told you. Fat Jim Rome.
Yeah. So...
Jim Round.
I remember him playing. I remember him as a player. It's been a while. I mean, he was what, mid-90s, early 2000s? Lou Maloney. So, anyway, Bochy had mentioned that to MLB Network that he was going to use Jake as the fifth starter to start the year. Now, that doesn't mean he'll be like that when it gets to the playoffs, but to start the year, he'll be the fifth starter. And the reason for that, and I had to go down and break down the schedule, is that this will give him extra rest early on. So, he will pitch... with 5 days rest, normally it's 4 days rest, 5 days rest each of his first five starts. He won't have to have a start on regular rest, which is fifth day, 4 days rest, until his sixth start of the year, April 29th. That's more than a month into the season. And considering they play April games in Cincinnati and in Chicago, where I would bet of those six games you play, you have like a probably like a 70% chance of getting one rainout thrown in there. So you might get an extra day off beyond that. Meanwhile, if they made him their ace and he started game one, he would have to start game six initially right away. He would have no days off. He would have a regular 4 days rest, fifth day start if they just put him as the one right off the bat. I love this move by Bochy. It's smart. You've got to protect him.
It's good. I mean, look, anything you can do to, I guess, maximize him. But there is also the thought of, like, you're paying him. Like, if he's going to break down, is the extra day going to be like, well, that's what saved him? Like, I mean, I feel like.
Yeah, but people would apply that to the Kyrie criticism. You know, people yesterday were like, Nico, you ran him into the ground. You blew him out. And then others were like, I don't understand. He's making $40, $50 million a year. You need him to carry you during his stretch when others are missing. So I kind of think of the Kyrie injury in the same vein. Well, he's supposed to be your number one franchise guy who you want to extend.
But if it sounded like an...
I don't personally believe that. I believe they ran him into the ground, but...
Well, and if it sounds like an... Jared made it sound like they've got like an innings cap on him this year that they're thinking of. And if that's the case, like, what does it matter when the innings come? Like, right. if you're going to throw him the same number of innings anyway, why not just either... like, not start him, like,
wait till July.
Or do whatever you got to do.
I mean, look, he hasn't thrown over 100 innings since 2019. It's basically half a year. And you should get 100 innings in about 15 starts.
How many starts has he made for the Texas Rangers in his 3 years or 2 years, whatever it is? Do you know what the number is?
11?
I believe it's 9, because he made 6.
What?
He made 6, I think, his first year, and then he did 3 last year.
9.
But I think he's only made 9 starts. I'm trying to pull up the.
It is 9.
Yeah, 9. Because it felt like he pitched a little longer than that in 2023. I didn't remember it only being 6 starts. I thought we got like 2 months into
last
the year.
Last year felt like 1 and more in 2023.
Yeah.
Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers with RJ Choppy.
Final offseason grades from ESPN. Let's just say they are not a fan of the Texas Rangers offseason.
They lost baseball, so what do they know?
They did. I thought I would have given this team. Their off-season grade, probably in the...
B?
A B. At worst, a C+. At worst. They go with a C-.
Oh.
Payroll's down $4 million, but that's marginal. Here's the write-up. It was always going to be a relatively modest off-season. They'll depend on their lineup returning intact. They traded away Lowe, traded for Berger, which is probably a small downturn in value, Peyton. More power, but less on-base percentage and worse defense. Bringing back Evaldi was a nice move. The rotation will simply hope for a healthy DeGrom and healthy Mally and a breakout from Rocker. But the top three relievers from last year are gone. Robertson remains unsigned, leaving potential issues in the bullpen. The offense will need to figure out what happened to the 200 missing runs between 23 and 24. As befitting a team that went from 90 wins and a World Series title in 1 year to 78, the range of outcomes here is wide. I would argue that they're... Who cares they lost their top three relievers? I think the bullpen's better.
I was about to say, like, here's the other thing. As much as I've kind of discounted the idea of, well, if they just stay healthy, like, they're going to be so much better than last year. It's like, okay, well, can you really bank on that's a slam dunk? I will say...
And this is Schoenfield. It works on the, like, Schoenfield, no, like, he's a... It national guy.
It works on the flip side too, where when he goes like, "Well, where are those runs going to come from?" It's like, "Well, they're not expecting everybody to be out the whole year." Like, right. is probably where a lot of it is. It's not like it's impossible to envision if they stay healthy that they would have runs. Like, it's extremes on both ends. We expect they're going to stay completely healthy, so we think they're going to win 93 games. And then to this side, Schoenfield, where he's like, "Well, I just assume everybody's going to be hurt like they were last year. So where's anybody going to score from?"
This article. If Rob Manfred wanted to, like, point to, like, this is why we don't want to be associated with ESPN anymore, it's this art. Like, even the national baseball guys, like, if it's not about, like, the Yankees or the Dodgers, they just don't follow it closely enough.
But he's, like, he's not a dummy.
But he's not a dummy. That's the thing. He knows. He knows they improved the bullpen. He knows about the injuries last year. I mean, he's a baseball lifer. He's like Jim Capel, rest in peace. Right, just a baseball life.
Did we lose Jim Capel? I didn't even know that.
I think we lost Jim Capel. I hope we did after what I just said.
We did, yeah. Okay.
All right, you hope we did.
You're covered.
Well, I hope we did.
I don't want to put somebody in the ground that's not already there. My gosh, my dad's there now. By the way, we got the headstone finally, the thing. Looks very nice. I don't know why my mom opted for the middle initial, though.
Man, did I get in some family drama this past weekend.
Uh-oh.
My dad put us through it. I'm sitting there in Indianapolis, and he's like, "Oh, I'm going to pick out my funeral stuff today." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, who else is going to do it? You guys going to do it?" I was like, "Well, I thought, yeah, it was kind of like our job. I thought it was kind of like my job. You know, I'm the oldest son, oldest child." He's like, "No, like, why would you want to deal with it?" So he's saying, "I don't want you doing it," while also guilting me at the same time.
For not doing it.
For not doing it. And he's like, "You know how morbid this is," and how I said, "You really don't have to do it. I'll just deal with it. When that time comes, you know, we don't like having these morbid discussions." My brother didn't even know he was doing it. My brother's in the same state.
That's why you're the favorite.
My mom, I guess she was like, "Yeah, if you want me to go, I'll go." But she was kind of like nonchalant about it. And God, then on the way back, I land from Indy, DFW airport, driving home. I get this dramatic text from my dad, like, to the whole family. "I just went through something I never thought I'd have to do in my entire life, and never did I ever think." And you can't really attack him and go back because you're, like, talking about his death. And I'm like, okay, how does it work? Does everyone go and pick out their own headstone and coffin? I thought the family dealt with it after.
Man, I'll tell you this. I remember my grandparents took me to their headstone. They said, "This is where we're going to be buried." And they had bought it. They were like in their 60s. They had like 30 years left to live.
Yeah.
And they bought it. And like, "This is where we're going to get buried. Yo, just so you know how to get here."
Yeah.
So
I didn't know you went and shopped for your own setup beforehand.
A lot of people do. Nowadays, like, cremation is like the in thing, I guess.
Yeah. I was like, "Write down three things you want and we'll handle it."
Yeah.
You know, but no, he wanted to do it just in part to be able to guilt us over it.
Does he like Sharif the? I was gonna say, does he like the have the emotional upper hand like that?
Oh, when I became financially independent, that was one of the worst days of his life. Oh gosh, one of the worst days of his life that he could not hold the financial hand over my head anymore.
My dad's still waiting for me to buy him that first meal.
That's right. All right. The Dallas Stars keep it going. Let's crosstalk with a KNC masterpiece next.
8 seconds left. Here's Harley. Let's it go! Harley with 3.1 seconds left. And Dallas goes back on top, 4-3.
The explosion at the AAC on ESPN Plus with the game winner 4-3 over the Devils, 6 straight at home. The three hottest stars had another great night. Dallas Stars keep it rolling. Calgary next tomorrow night to end the homestand. Crosstalk with a KNC masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Bobby Belt on his way to Frisco for the Zach Martin press conference.
All right.
What's coming up on the show, Corey?
I think we are having the press conference at 11 today.
Well.
So we'll see if they can keep us on clock. Because I bet they're late. That's just what they do.
Shoddy was late in Indianapolis. Oh, we were very disappointed.
Two in a row.
We expected punctuality.
But he did tell us afterwards, he goes, that Mike McCarthy, I'm paraphrasing, that Mike McCarthy 6:30 Friday stuff, that is not happening with me.
Oh, so did he give you a new time instead?
What's going to be a later time?
Later. He's a sleeper.
We were trying to figure out if we can get Mondays back like we had for Jason Garrett.
Reaction right after what happened. Yeah. I love that idea.
Would later bum you guys out because you can play it multiple times in the show?
Yep. That's the first thing I said to Choppy.
Yeah.
I said, there goes the there goes the segment. Are you taking a cheap shot?
Yes.
100%.
Yes. I felt it.
100%.
But I'll again, admit it. Family can take cheap shots. I'll admit That's how it. We
and
do.
And you would do the same thing?
No.
Oh.
Never.
Well,
yeah, I would. I would be like, yeah, let's run it three times.
Exactly.
I'll run it four times. All right. Let's do it earlier.
Let me see what I can pick apart with your program today.
I'll put you on the AM dial.
We do have My Buddy's an Idiot coming up at 10:40. Puck around and find out right out of the gate at 10 o'clock.
Were you worried I spelled it with an F?
It's punk, and so I was like,
oh no!
But I thought it was wrestling. C-Block today, 1 o'clock, long time from now. But we do have a dinner with the boss, or a late lunch with the boss. So we will do top questions not to ask your boss at late lunch.
What song do you think he's going to play for you?
What song? Hold on. What do you mean?
Not the boss.
Oh, yeah.
I got that. Got
I was going to say Dancing, Born Run, dancing in the Dark. Road, yeah.
You're talking about the big boss, Brian Purdy?
Yeah. 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 Top questions not to ask him.
Are your contracts up soon?
Oh, we got 10 more years or something.
All right.
Like the same $20,000.
Wow. So the truly, okay, truly unscheduled lunch with the boss.
Yeah, this was one of those where we missed a meeting that y'all had to go to.
Yeah.
And so he's going to update us on this one. But hey, it's one-on-one. So.
Oh, no. You're going to have a fantastic time.
Some serious questions.
I mean, Brian Purdy, one of the best socializers out there.
And he probably pays for it. Probably pick up the tab for you.
Probably.
Yes.
Definitely.
Just trying to give him a little bit of an uneasiness there.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Should we order extra stuff then, do you think?
I think you have to. You know, like I think, you know, you should order the, you know, definitely order the higher priced scotch.
You don't drink. That's some calamari. You're going to miss out.
Do they have alcohol at the place we're going?
I don't know.
Of course.
Sorry, I almost said that.
I got to run.
I know they have beer.
I don't know where you're going, so I don't know.
They're going to a pizza place. We told you in the break.
Oh, is that what that was you're talking about? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They have a full bar. We had my dad's funeral there. Yeah, so.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, that was his favorite place.
It was?
Yeah, it was his favorite pizza spot.
Like, nice. You mean they had the after part of the funeral, right?
Yeah, the fun part.
Okay.
The fun part of the funeral was there.
I just want to make sure.
And they put him in the coal oven.
Yeah.
That was the cremation. He's like,
golly.
I really want to go out with my favorite.
He's a coal fire.
As Italian as it gets.
He's a coal fire cremation. We just threw him in there. I says, "Hey, could you put the pie in, but put him in first?
Are those, pepperonis?
Put him in the back of the thing. That's he's bald, so there won't be any hair on the pizza.
Oh my god!
I used to have two roommates, and we all lived in a house together. And I got home from school one day. I was at Richland College, and I get home, and there's pizza sitting on the top of the on the stovetop, whole pizza." And I was like, guys, what's good? Nobody's touched the pizza in here. They said, well, Ryan cut off the top of his finger and somewhere it's on top of the pizza.
Oh, my Lord.
And so I saw, like, I was looking, I was like, is that a sausage or is that a pepperoni or is that the tip of his finger? We ate it anyway.
You did?
Yeah, we ate it anyway. We were like,
that's
screw
protein.
It. We
this
feel like, yeah, we feel like we probably missed it because we were like, that's got to be it, right?
This is the Costanza, you know, in the trash.
Yeah.
Did it touch anything in the trash? Is it safeguarded? Is it a
just
layer?
Laying on the top?
Is it laying on
You're
the top?
You're just laying on top?
Yeah. I didn't know. Like, we were just kind of like, that might be it. So we just,
But how much of the finger got cut off for real?
It was the, I don't know.
Like, this, legit caused a ton of bleeding.
This tip, yeah. Yeah. When I came home, I did see he, like, had his hand up and he had it all wrapped up. Because he had it wrapped up in, like, toilet paper and tape because we're bachelors and we didn't have any Band-Aids around. So, yeah, that was what we did.
Kevin Hagelin, how much of the speech, if any, did you watch last night?
I actually did not watch any, but I'm going to tell you this.
Crappy
great news for our country. Top trend on Twitter last night. Disgusting. However, it was used equally by both sides.
Yes, everybody agrees.
The right thought things were disgusting. The left thought other opposite things were disgusting. So see, we're not as divided as we think.
We have the same dictionary.
Yeah, we all use the same word to describe actions.
So what was the left calling disgusting?
I think the use of the, I can't remember his name, I'm sorry, the 13-year-old boy who
DJ,
overcame.
I think it was DJ,
okay,
right?
I think that is right. Who overcame brain cancer. I know that was a flashpoint for a lot of
people.
That
they made him the honorary police officer?
Not that, that they're saying he has cut medical and cancer research funding at the same time. He's honoring that kid. At least that's the talking point. Oh. I didn't dive into last night to the medical bill funds or anything like that. So I know that's one of the things that came up.
I love chaos.
Yeah, you missed WWE, man.
Yeah.
And it was a...
They booted somebody out, right?
Yeah.
Democrat from Texas.
Oh, great.
Concerned a disruption of proper decorum, the chair now directs the sergeant-at-arms to restore order. Remove this gentleman from the chamber.
What was his name again?
Al Green.
Al Green.
Oh,
Al Green.
Yeah. Okay, I was curious.
Got tossed. Got the bat, big dumb.
What did he say?
He kept
I didn't totally make that out.
This was right at Trump had said, I won the popular vote. I won the electoral college. I've got a mandate. I think he stood up and said, you don't have a mandate. You've got no mandate. He kept saying it. You don't have a mandate. You don't have a mandate. They did the gavel thing and he kept going, like, we're going to throw you out if you don't stop.
Waving his cane. Like a Papa Shango cane.
He kept talking.
Remember him?
Did Papa Shango have the cane?
That
was the pimp.
Yeah, that was the same guy.
Boom.
There you go. So he kept going at it, and they finally said, all right, you know, sergeant-at-arms or whatever that is, remove him.
Called him Big Dom.
They called him the
And on his way out, he said, let's stay together, Al Green.
Good reference.
Good reference. Very good.
Corey,
reference.
Did you watch it all?
No, I was watching. We're on a trip right now. Kevin, every single day, Kevin will give you one, maybe two college basketball games to watch.
Oh, so it's not Iowa game.
So we are, and then last night I was also watching the Stars. So I'm watching the college basketball games. Last night it was Texas, Mississippi State, and then it was A&M and Auburn. And so tonight at 12:40-ish,
yep.
Kevin's going to be giving us another college basketball game to watch for this evening. We are getting you ready for 2 weeks.
I'll be watching it.
No, that wasn't going to be the one I suggested. That is a good
top
one.
Top 25.
You have a damn good team.
We do. Might be a one seat.
All right, this gets
in line for one right now.
I was excited, then I was not excited.
Hold on, whoa. Do you have thoughts about the speech? Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Do I get to get your breakdown?
Choppy took over with the main points. I can't do every year.
Try to rehash that if you like.
Every year we say the same thing. All the interruptions. I can't deal with it.
Do you think, depending on which side gets to do the speech every 4 years or obviously every year, do you think everyone decides going in, like if it's the opposite party, I don't care what that person says. I'm not standing up for nothing. Or do you think if it's your party, you're like, I don't care if I even believe in what they're saying.
Well,
I will stand up when everybody stands up.
That was the most surreal thing. And I don't know. I'm not educated enough politically with the history of it to know if the one side just never stands up, but
it's not never.
They were holding up little signs yesterday, like Elon steals something false, maybe. But I'm like, oh, they got like these PTI signs made up.
Yeah, they do. Like to wave. Slides, yeah.
And so watching the one side erupt and then the other side be dead silent, falling asleep, and Trump say, "I could cure cancer, I could do anything," and they wouldn't praise me. I can't get a smile out of these people. That was really weird in the moment.
I have a lot of takes on this. It's just, you know, Al, like Marjorie last year, I think it was last year, Marjorie's calling Biden a liar. Like, shut up. You're in Congress.
Did you see what happened in Serbia?
What?
Smoke bombs being thrown in Parliament
and everything.
Oh, yeah, I did
see that. Yeah, but we're not in the House of Commons. We're in the House of Representatives. There's a decorum.
House of Commons is crazy.
House of Commons is crazy. Marjorie, sit down. Stop. Al, Put your cane down. Shut up. Marjorie, by the way, take your stupid hat off.
Oh, yeah, she brought up.
You're in Congress.
Would you just ask Al what he thinks?
Fetterman, put a suit on.
Yeah.
Who's the girl, Rosa?
Wait, is Fetterman the Bobby guy?
Yeah. The chick Rosa from Connecticut. You got purple hair. You're not. She looks like she's in a My Chemical Romance cover band.
Like, so you would have worn a suit to this?
Absolutely. Okay, if I was in Congress.
Yeah.
Man, you know, Elon, you're freaking me out. Like, you're I'm weirded out by Elon. And then Trump, like, put the bronzer down. We don't need the bronzer. You know, we probably don't need the Gulf of America.
There is a back patio at the Oval Office. Just go step out there, get some sun, get some real sun.
Put your signs down. We're not at a ball game.
There you go. Like, you happy?
Act normal.
Yeah. Happy with that recap?
I'm just always curious if people listen to this and they're like, okay, I feel like they took both sides to task.
What do you think?
Or I think it feels more
likely. What do you think their reaction
is? Well, how do you like blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't.
But the whole thing is now just it's a comedy act. Like, politics has become a comedy act.
Do you have a political joke for us?
I don't. He's just doing bits.
He'll show you the glass he was watching it with last night. You'll love it.
Okay.
All right. Zach Martin.
I'm excited about that.
Jerry Jones. Will he explain the mystery combine disappearance?
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to get you out
of
time.
I know. I'm sorry. Mm-mm. Seriously.
For
really,
once.
Really quick. Are you going to be disappointed if either Jerry Jones doesn't talk or he doesn't take questions and he's like, I'm just here to talk about how great Zach Martin is?
I'll be a little disappointed. I don't expect him. I think, you know, he shouldn't sit up there and answer indie questions. Like, maybe talk after.
Okay.
Talk. Gotcha. Do a walk-off after. Let Zach have his day and his moment.
Gotcha.
What do you think is going to happen?
That's because I don't think he's going to get a barrage of questions or he's going to deflect any question that's not about Zach Martin.
All right. Find out what happens. 11 o'clock airing right here with the KNC Masterpiece next on The Fan.